You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
A very merry Draftmas to you. Thank you for joining us today. My name's Kent Swanson. I'm the lead film and draft analyst for Arrowhead Pride. This is the first episode of 2019 for the AP Draft Show. Jake Stack is back with me. Find him on Twitter at Jacob Morley. We are back, baby.
In the meadow, we can build a football team. Yes, I am so excited to be back. Draft season is the best season. Merry Draftmas to everyone.
It's been Draftmas season for you for a while since you've been a Packers fan. We are kind of new to this. It's been less than a month for us.
I'll fill you in.
What have we missed? Actually, I do want to do something real quick. We left the 2018 season on a cliffhanger. We said, the best prospect in the 2019 draft class is, who is it, Jake?
Nick Bosa, man. It's Nick Bosa.
Here's the thing. I thought it was going to be Ed Oliver. Like, if you had asked me that in April, I would have said Ed Oliver. But you're right. Nick Bosa is
Nick
now
Bosa
the dude.
Nick Bosa would have been on your short list, though.
Oh, absolutely. He definitely would have been. And, yeah, he's kind of taken a stranglehold. I would take Ed Oliver, even if they want to put him at off-ball linebacker, which some people were rumoring.
Ed off-balliver?
Ed off-balliver. That's actually the group name of me and Matt and Craig's and Jake's kind of group chat for the draft season. And we're going to talk to Matt. We're going to talk to Craig later on. And funny thing is, Matt and Craig, they were on our last episode of the draft show last season. We had them jump in and do, you know, 1 minute or 2 minute, you know, kind of segments about prospects. So, you know, that was kind of like, I think that was like the first time all four of us were involved in something together.
Foreshadowing something great.
I guess so.
Or just all right.
Or just, you know, average, you know, adequate draft content. Yeah. You know, that's what we're here for. So today what we're going to do is we're going to focus on the local prospects. We're going to start in our own backyard. So we're going to talk about the prospects from Missouri, talk about the prospects from Kansas State, Missouri, and Washburn. And actually, we're going to have
You said Missouri twice. Did you mean KU? Chance becoming a Missouri fan, apparently.
I guess so.
Just KU football is not even a real thing anymore.
I mean, it's struggling, but Les Miles is on the way up. Yeah, Missouri, K-State, and Kansas. Sorry about that. We're gonna talk about Washburn, too. So, you know, Washburn has a guy named Corey Ballantyne. He was at the Senior Bowl. Kind of an interesting late-round prospect. We actually have a two-minute interview with him from the Senior Bowl. Yeah, I'm excited about that.
Are you trying to tell me Happy Valentine's Day?
Ayo! Yeah,
I guess it'll be the day after Valentine's Day when...
Well, it was recorded, though. You know, a Valentine for Valentine. It's gonna be beautiful. But let's jump into a few prospects that that I actually have to cover and Jake has to cover. We're gonna talk about some prospects that Matt and Craig have evaluated already. What we've done this year is a little bit different when it comes to building our evaluation list and kind of ranking and grading prospects. We've all split up by positions. And so we've all kind of had, you know, primary focuses. We're all going to come back together and watch all these prospects, but we've got one primary person kind of on each individual position. So I've got quarterbacks and running backs. Jake has running back or wide receivers and tight ends. And then we'll talk about what Matt and Craig are doing later. We've already got over 200 prospects graded at this point. So we've got a lot of prospects, you know, that we've already churned through. And we've got some really cool stuff we're going to announce here very soon about what we're doing with that content. And we've got all kinds of different moving pieces and parts to what we've got going for draft season, a.k.a. Draftmas. Merry Draftmas to all of you. Let's go ahead and talk about a Missouri Tiger quarterback who is probably the highest graded and probably the highest draft position, most likely, of all the local prospects, and that's Drew Locke, quarterback from Missouri. Drew Locke's been a very interesting evaluation for me, Jay, because when I first started watching him, I watched some of his early season tape, and I came away extremely underwhelmed. I thought he was erratic. I thought he was inconsistent with his accuracy. I thought he tried to get cute with his mechanics. And then as the season kind of moved along, we started to see more out of him. We started to see control of the ball at all three levels of the field, a little bit of creativity with how he's moving in the pocket, how he's finding plays, and some intriguing traits. You know, you saw a lot of those traits that were with him all the time, but he really kind of started to tap into him a little bit more. I kind of started to be a little bit more impressed. What do you think about Drew Locke?
I think it's interesting because you talk about the Drew Locke throughout the season of last year to this year as well. And I think last year there was some kind of buzz about him coming out towards the end of his junior year. And so that was really interesting just because I thought people were kind of excited about him at that point. And I think it was kind of the same case because he kind of came on strong towards the end of the season. And I think, like you just alluded to, it's basically the same thing with this season. So what Drew Locke are you getting? I don't know. I think that's the question. But I think he's a toolsy guy. Obviously, you've studied him more than I have. Just looking at him from like a baseline, he's got the right size. He's got actually pretty good arm talent as far as just being able to throw from different platforms, sure, and things like that. But I think he's a risky guy to take a chance on. So obviously he'll probably go top 10 just
right,
because
right,
he's got the tools, he's got the intangibles. People are going to swing for the fences on him. How do you think he'd fit in with the Chiefs, Kent?
I don't think we need to worry about how he would fit in with the Chiefs anymore because Patrick Mahomes is our quarterback, and this time a year ago, I would have been trying to talk myself into a lot of these guys as, you know, believing. Right now, currently as we sit, I've got a third-round grade on Drew Locke. I mean, from a perspective of a quarterback position, a third-round grade goes in round one a lot of the times, too, because, you know, it is hard to kind of, you know, get these guys. And if you think he has a chance to be a starter, he's a round one quarterback. He has a chance to be a starter. There's still a lot of things I have questions about with him. You know, I want to see him be more consistent. I want to see him execute those easy throws. But, you know, that's a guy. I mean, he's going to go in the top 10.
Where would you put him just as far as physical tools at the quarterback position?
In this class, I mean, Kyler Murray's got more physical tools. It's just different.
Yeah.
You know, Dwayne Haskins, I think he's got the same physical tools, but I think he has plenty of them. Daniel Jones, Drew Locke has more tools than Daniel Jones. So, I mean, he's got tools. I think he's got a long way to
Where would you rank Drew Locke in last year's class?
Oh, very far down. I mean, he would have been QB. I like Josh Allen better than I like Drew
So
Locke.
Behind the – what about Lamar Jackson?
No, he'd be higher than Lamar
so
Jackson.
So probably behind Josh Allen in front of Jackson.
Yeah. That around where Lamar Jackson, where I had Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson went round one. Running back from Kansas State, Alex Barnes. Here's another guy that I've been the primary grader on, and I kind of went on Twitter and kind of asked some people, just kind of get an idea from K-State fans what they thought Alex Barnes was from a draft grade perspective. Just kind of curious to see what they thought. I got a lot of round four, round five.
Ooh.
I got a round three. I'll be honest with you guys. I have a undraftable grade. I have a fringe round seven priority free agent grade. So here's the thing about Alex Barnes. I think what you see is what you get. I think he's a physical runner. I think he's got a little bit of long speed for a guy his size. I don't think he has any real lateral quickness to make people miss. I have some vision questions about him. I don't think that he's a guy that you're going to be able to trust in the passing game. I have some pass protection questions about him too. At times, I think he's just kind of inconsistent there. But I think he could be a really solid special teamer. You know, I think that's a guy that, you know, there's some interesting qualities about him as a football player. I just don't know if he's dynamic enough as a running back to really hold any value in this league.
Yeah, and there's a term that a lot of people are probably familiar with. We'll call this the scouting term of the week, JAG. And I don't mean like he would be a Jacksonville Jaguar. He's just a guy. And in this draft class, he's a fine player. Like, I don't get me wrong. He's a fine player, but the devaluation of the running back position as a whole is going to push him down. But then on top of that, this is a good running back class. There's about 10 guys that I really like, probably, that you could take between rounds 2 and 6.
Right.
And Alex Barnes isn't one of those guys. And I talk about guys that maybe, when I say guys I like, I mean guys that I think could come in and maybe even be a 1 or 2 on an NFL team. And I don't think Alex Barnes is that guy. Right. If Alex Barnes is your starting running back, you're in trouble, you know? I think, like you said, he could be a good special teamer, but so could a lot of those guys in that position and in that capacity. So I just don't know.
I think Barnes is a guy that would be willing to play special teams too. And like when you watch him, you can tell that there's some football character to him as a player in the way and the style which he plays. So, I mean, that is a guy that could, you know, make his way on a team like that.
And what's interesting with him is he's coming out his junior year. And so he could have went back for his senior year. But with the running back position, Kent, do you think he would have increased his draft stock by going back for one more year?
Yeah, we were talking about this earlier. I don't think so. It's a guy that there's really not much left that he can show. He kind of is what he is, and so that might be a guy. Keep some tread on those tires for the next opportunity, whether it's the NFL or whether it's with my Orlando Apollos. We'll find out. But
hot shots.
No, Orlando Apollos all the way.
Hot shots are too deep at the running back position. They don't have a spot.
All right, we're going to move on to a receiver from Missouri, Emmanuel Hall. Jake, you're the primary grader on them. What did you see from Emmanuel Hall, a guy I believe was getting some Senior Bowl interest or might have even got invited and then wound up moving on?
Yeah, so he was someone that I was actually really excited to see at the Senior Bowl because right now I have like a 4th, 5th round grade on him, and I feel like a lot of people are going to think that's low. But let me explain myself. One, he got hurt his senior year, and I think he's a kind of a tall, frail-looking guy, so there are some injury concerns and how he holds up at the next level in general. But really, I mean, with these Mizzou guys, I don't ever love the way they've been developed coming out just because they don't really run a full route tree there. If you ask him to do anything vertically, he's fine. But what really, really bugs me about Emmanuel Hall is just to kind of go with that slight frame. I just don't think he can survive on the outside as he is right now, because when you watch him try to get off the line of scrimmage, there are times where wide receivers, they need to kind of play behind their pads and use their hands to not let corners get their hands into their chest. And he is a guy that comes off the line of scrimmage and almost like sticks his chest out and just gives corners a huge target to get their hands on him and to really redirect him. So pretty much anything besides a vertical route, he really struggles with. So I like him to a degree, but I don't think he is as ready as some people might think he is. I think he's got the size to kind of be a high point type player, but when you watch him, he kind of likes to basket catch everything too. So he kind of lets the ball get into his body a little bit too much. Now, that's what I don't like about him, but there are certainly things that I do like about him. I think Emmanuel Hall, like I already mentioned, he's a long guy, and he's a long strider too. He eats up cushion in a hurry. Like, that kind of goes along with what I talked about with his vertical routes. He's pretty proficient, like with a 7 or a 9 on his route tree.
A corner and a go.
Yes, yeah. but that's basically it. His anything horizontally, I didn't love. He does a decent job with his hands, though, actually, to create separation, like on that go route. And what I mean by that is a lot of corners like to keep their hands on you as you run down the field. He does a nice job of making sure corners keep his hands off of him as he's running at full speed. He's got a pretty nice speed cut. He's a pretty smooth athlete when he can get into his cuts vertically. But I think, you know, the biggest thing that I like about him is I do like his ability and his body control. Looks pretty nice. He's got good flexibility. But right now, just with him, he's probably a higher upside type guy that I think should be there in the 4th or 5th round. Now,
That could change. You know, he could come out and run really fast at the combine. But this is also a really deep class right. at the wide receiver position as well. So as I watch a lot of these wide receivers, I'm almost, the more I get into it, the more I'm almost like biased with myself, where I'm sitting like, could this, no, this can't be another top 100 grader. Am I doing this wrong? Like, yeah. These receivers all seem good. And Emmanuel Hall just didn't give me that vibe like a lot of the other guys did. So that's kind of why he got pushed down as well, because it's tough sometimes to grade these guys in a vacuum, and I know that's what you want to do. But when you're watching them back-to-back over and over again, you almost kind of start to put them in positions. And so that's why, in my head, fourth and fifth round is where I would be comfortable taking Emmanuel Hall, but that's just me.
So Jake, one kind of follow-up to that, you know, you talk about how deep this wide receiver class is, and I do agree with you, there's a lot of dudes there kind of in that mid-round range. Emmanuel Hall sitting there in the fifth round, is he a value
yeah.
like for the Chiefs, if the Chiefs wanted to pursue a wide receiver to develop, is he a guy that you think that they should, you know, look to develop in day three?
Yeah, absolutely. I think he's a guy that could come in and actually fit what they do pretty well, just because he's got that vertical speed. And obviously, with a guy like Pat Mahomes, you can throw the ball all over the field. He's gonna have to develop. I know. Yeah. Okay. So I say yes and no because I don't know if he can play that slot position either.
Right.
And I know that could be something that the Chiefs are kind of looking for this offseason, is kind of that guy that can come in right away and play the slot, then maybe eventually move outside. I don't know if he can do that. He seems more like an outside receiver, and that's because his underneath routes aren't really proficient yet, and that's probably something you're going to want more in your slot receiver. But in the fifth round, I think he'd be of great value for the Chiefs. I think he's would be more than like a welcome addition as a developmental type guy. I think he's a more refined, what's his face, Robinson. Who am I thinking
DeMarcus?
Of? Yeah. I think he's, because, you know, we've talked about DeMarcus at length. And how he's kind of just a freestyle type runner. I think Hall's a little bit more refined,
more
than
structured.
That. I think he can operate in a structure a little bit better. But when you're saying fifth round, a lot of people think the draft ends after four rounds. So yeah, he'd be a value there in the fifth round for sure.
So he's definitely got to keep a look out for, just kind of keep an eye on him, see how he does at the combine. We're gonna bring Matt on here in a minute to talk about some tackles. We're going to talk about some defensive linemen. It's going to be interesting. We'll get to that right now. And we are joined by Maddie Lane. Find him on Twitter at Chief in Carolina. I've been reminiscing, Maddie. You know, I think this was your first, you know, kind of exposure to our podcast and stuff, all that stuff back in, what was it, May, the last episode of the draft show from last year. You actually jumped on and gave us a take about Breland Speaks.
Yeah, I sat in my car and I recorded myself talking about 38 times until it sounded right and my voice wasn't so high pitched like it always comes across in recordings, and sent you a nice Breland Speaks take, which I feel from what we saw is pretty accurate.
I think you were nicer on Breland Speaks than what the reality
you
was.
You gotta pander to the fans a little bit, kid.
Yeah.
You can't just come out and say he's a trash can like some would do.
Yeah, like the funny thing is, like, I think we all got raked over the coals for our Breland Speaks takes last year, but boy, he did not look like a second round pick to me. I don't know about you, and I mean he'll be better with Spagnuolo and playing a strong side defensive end, but like there's still some concerns there.
Yeah, he's gonna be in a better spot for him to succeed, but even so, like we talked about plenty over the offseason, if Breland Speaks becomes everything that it looks like he can be, is that still worth a trade up into the second round to pick a run first edge defender?
Nope. The answer's no.
Exactly.
Okay, so we're talking about local prospects today. I wanted to go over three guys that you have been the primary grader on. We'll start with Dalton Risner. Tackle guard from Kansas State, Senior Bowl invitee. We got to see him play. What'd you think about Risner?
So I like Dalton Risner. His game's very clean. He's a good prospect. He tries hard. There's a lot to like about him, and he seems like a great person. Every interview or interaction you had with somebody down in the Senior Bowl week or heard from him, had a great time talking to him. So he's got everything going for him. Except for me, when I turn on the film, I just don't see an offensive tackle. And the crazy part is he fits all the length and size measurements. I think he'll fit any athletic testing requirements you want to have an offensive tackle. He just seems to struggle so much with length on the edge that I think you're going to be better off kicking him inside to guard. And it's not even a bad thing. He's going to be a fantastic guard at the next level. You're just, he struggles with length on the outside. So I still gave him a second round grade. I still like him as a player a ton. I'm just not sure I see him sticking at offensive tackle in the NFL. Whether or not you try him there or not, it's kind of be up to the team who takes him.
So he went up against a long edge rusher in Montez Sweat against Mississippi State earlier in the season. What did you see from that game in particular against a guy that's probably going to go in the top 40?
Yeah, and that's the first one that kind of started it off. You just see that Sweat continuously got his hands into Dalton Risner's chest before Risner got his hands into him. And it's not the end of the world if you know how to recover, but Risner just seemed to struggle a little bit with recovering from that. There's a few times where Sweat was able to get leverage, get up underneath Risner's pads, and then he had full control of him the entire rest of the pass rush. And outside that game, you don't get a whole lot of good pass rush when you're playing in the Big 12, especially these kind of long athletic edges. So you didn't really get to see it again until the Senior Bowl week, where it was more of the same. Risner looked a little bit better there handling it, but it was still much the same. You have an athletic long edge rusher on the outside, and when they get their hands into Dalton Risner, he just struggles to mirror him and stay in front of him. And it's just something that he struggled with despite having all the length you would ask out of the position. A big thing is he opens his hips real early to try to get up the arc rather than staying with his butt facing the quarterback more or less. He opens his hips up to where he's more facing the other offensive tackle with his butt, and that's just not what you want to see out of your offensive tackle. Then you're kind of looking like Garrett Bowles out there.
Ugh, Garrett Bowles. Wonderful. Let's talk about the defensive line. A couple of local prospects, Terry Beckner Jr. from Missouri. Wasn't he getting some Senior Bowl looks potentially as well before not winding up there?
Yeah, I don't remember if he didn't get an invite due to a small injury or something like that, or he just simply wasn't invited. He should have been. He very much deserved to be there. It's a strong defensive line class, so I understand why there isn't space for him, but he's a pretty good player. I do have some concerns with him. I think that, like a lot of Missouri defensive linemen coming out recently, he just doesn't have the most explosive hands. And when you play out on the edge, I think people are able to look past it. When you're on the interior, you can't have soft hands. He's plenty strong. When he decides to bull rush somebody, he can hit somebody and drive them backwards, move them off his body. But his hands just don't make any impact when he hits arms or a offensive lineman's body most of the time. And it's just kind of this weak hand thing that just doesn't do it for me for an interior defensive lineman. But he's got good athleticism, so I'm interested to see how he tests. He could really climb up some boards if he tests well. I'm just not sure if it's going to be enough in this kind of defensive class.
So what kind of round valuation are we looking at right now with him?
I got him in the early day three right now, and it's kind of one of those spots where I think athletic testing is going to be huge for him, whether he's stepping up into that third round range or he's going to stay there in round four, maybe even slide to round five if he tests as stiff as he looks on some plays. He has a really good arm over pass rush move, and when he's hitting this move, he looks like a great player. He easily looks like a day two player. The problem is you can't find a highlight pass rush of him without finding the arm over. I struggled to find more than one move that he was able to win with on any sort of consistent basis. So that's kind of where my big worry lies.
Yeah, and that's just not sustainable at the next level. You've got to have a better plan and more to work with when the competition gets the way it is. Okay, one other defensive line prospect, and probably the only Kansas defender really worth talking about with great length. Daniel Wise, defensive lineman out of Kansas. What did you think about him?
So Daniel Wise is a guy I'm still working to find a little bit more film on, so I kind of got an early start on him, but I really like his game. He's got a little bit more of a compact frame than some of these other guys you're going to see and talk about this year, but he does have these powerful hands. His hands kind of explode into blockers' body, hit their arms. He's got a good first step. He's pretty linear as an athlete goes, but that's going to be all right on the interior. And he's played up and down that defensive line. So I really like what I see out of him. I think you still have a lot of work to do. He's pretty raw, and that should be expected kind of coming out of Kansas. They're still getting that football program on its feet. I guess. And they're just trying to teach people how to play football. So he's getting there. I really like, though, like I said, his hands coming out of his stance. He gets them into players' bodies. He plays low. There's a couple plays against Oklahoma, and I believe this was from last year, actually, where he took on two, three offensive linemen in one play. They tried to pass him on to somebody else, but he got the better of every single engagement just because of how powerful his hands are and how he keeps them nice and tight to his body.
Yeah, thank you for not slandering the Jayhawks too much for me, buddy. I mean, that was very mild compared to the things that you normally shoot at us. Okay, Maddie, I wanted to ask you, just give me one player that you've watched recently that's really caught your attention.
So there's a lot of guys, but I think we're going to have to start with Christian Miller. And the big reason is I kind of went in expecting him to be this very toolsy, bendy pass rusher because that was kind of what his was labeled as. And he definitely is that.
That's Christian Miller out of Alabama. Is that correct?
Correct, out of Alabama. Okay. You know, we're still getting used to this. I'll have to remember to say colleges and numbers and stuff like that for everybody.
It's
number
okay.
47. But
it's all right,
I regress. He's a pass rusher. That's his selling point. And so that's kind of what I went in expecting is a part-time third down edge rusher. And that's not what he was for Alabama. He was a guy that played on first downs against the runs and second downs and then as well as third downs. He's kind of a situational player, but it's not a specific situation. He's just, I guess, more rotational. But his overall game was a lot better than I thought it was. He dropped into coverage a little bit. He kicked out into flats against some passes. He was able to play the run really well. He dominated tight ends. He was throwing tight ends left and right when he played against Missouri, just out of his way to make plays against the run. So guys that are fans that are looking for a guy in the early rounds to be a kind of dominant Sam linebacker for the Chiefs, he's a guy that you could look at if you think the Chiefs are going to address the position with a kind of a heavy value rather than waiting for more of a just another guy jag later in the draft. So Christian Miller, great pass rusher. He can bend. He's got all sorts of pass rush moves. I think people are going to be surprised seeing him at the combine just the way he moves because this is the kind of guy that they say the old phrase, you can run under a table. He definitely can run under a table because his ankles have the most insane ankle flexion in this draft almost that I've seen out of anybody.
I agree with that. I saw some clips of him recently. Funny that you used the jag term. Jake actually, you know, dropped that as the term of the week with earlier in the show. So that's perfect.
See, I'm disappointed that I don't get to hear Jake's voice, the better looking of the host of this podcast while we're here.
Wow.
And as far as I know, it has not been confirmed that Jake's a Jayhawk fan, so he's already two up on you.
Yeah, Jake's a Bison fan. So, and Easton Stick, I had to watch his quarterback at North Dakota State yesterday. Ungood.
Very well, I'm sorry ungood. For that.
Okay, well, we'll catch you next week on the show, and then I'll see you on the lab here in a couple days.
Sounds good, bud. You guys have fun with the wild rest of your nights. Get some tape done.
We are joined by Craig Stout. Find him on Twitter at BarleyHop. Craig, I was reminiscing with Jake earlier. The last time we did a draft show, all four of us were actually on it because we had you and Maddie do little, you know, sound bites for the last episode.
Yeah, no, I've been waiting for an invite ever since, but you jerks wouldn't allow me to come back on the show for some reason. It's been almost a year. Wow.
I
didn't realize it was that bad.
You were just terrible. You should feel better. We just haven't done a draft show since then. So.
Oh, have you not?
No.
I haven't been paying attention,
actually,
honestly.
So I've been doing this podcast with these two guys. Both of them, like, one of them's really tall and, like, is apparently just, like, I think he's a rocket scientist, and I think he also, like, has, like, he owns a restaurant, probably. I think he, like, he's into gold mining for, like, he's just, like, this man of many talents. Like, he sounds like a prospector. He's got this great prospector impression. It's fantastic, so.
Fantastic.
He's
fantastic.
Go get that David Johnson.
Yeah.
I actually heard the reason you weren't invited back is because your puns weren't good enough.
That's true.
Oh, that's definitely the case. I can't keep up with you guys when you get going on the puns.
No, there's no chance at all. Okay, so Craig, you are responsible for off-ball linebackers. You're responsible for the cornerback position. Those are your two primary, you're the primary grader for them. And there was three local prospects that fit that mold. First one, let's talk about Terrez Hall, the linebacker from Missouri. Tell me a little bit about him.
Terrez Hall's 6'2", 230, off-ball guy, very high-energy guy. He's got some range to him. He's not a big tackle collector in that defense. He lodged 5 sacks this year as a blitzer, so he really kind of developed as a blitzer a little bit. Not great in coverage, but he does kind of fit sort of this new style, quicker, faster, little smaller linebacker that maybe doesn't stack and shed so well, but can get out there and run with running backs, run out in the off ball in the second level a little bit better than, you know, your traditional bigger, bulkier linebackers.
So if he was to be drafted by the Chiefs, would he be more of a Will?
I think he would be more of a Will. He'd be a guy that they'd take late. He's definitely a guy that would be a special teamer. I can see them being a very good special teamer, actually. He's got the speed for it and everything like that. So, yeah. But he would definitely be a Will.
So I heard today, and I think it was Dane Brugler that said he was watching inside linebacker or off-ball linebackers, and after the first 3 guys, he said it's pretty much slim picking. Have you found that to be kind of accurate so far?
Oh, man. You know, we've had Kent complaining a lot about the guys that he's had to review and how he's not a big fan of a lot of them.
I got the worst positions, and we don't even need one of them. We have Patrick Mahomes, so I'm just sitting here wasting all my time so we can watch and grade 25 quarterbacks. Like, come on.
But off ball, yeah, after those first 3, it is slim pickings. Like, it falls off a giant cliff. So yeah, I'm hoping to find a couple diamonds in the roughs that could be maybe round 3 guys, but right now it's not much.
So at the bottom of that cliff is a linebacker from Kansas. Joe Dineen, Craig, we're both have KU fandom, and we're both here just not fans of Joe Dineen as a draft prospect.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of Joe Dineen. He plays the game kind of like a traditional linebacker that I just described, kind of a bulkier, broader kind of guy, tries to just run through offensive linemen. He collected a lot of tackles. He had 22 and a half tackles for loss last year in 2017. He was a big tackle guy. He just has zero range, zero lateral mobility. He just wouldn't be a great guy to add to this team.
Here's the funny thing about Dineen. I think he's like around 230. Like, he's not a big guy.
No, so. I know, but it shocked me. I turned on the tape, and I was like, oh, okay, this guy, 250 pounds, easy. He moves a little bit like a bus, and, it's just like he's 250 pounds, easy, and everything like that. And then I read that he was about 230, 235, and I went, oh, okay, so that's interesting that he doesn't have the size to really play with that. Like I said, he collects a lot of tackles. He had a lot of tackles for loss in that system, but we all know that KU's defense is nothing to write home about. So the fact that he was the leading tackler on that team isn't saying a whole lot.
This is gonna be a teaser for the future, but KU's best defensive player actually might have been playing tight end for Texas A&M last year. Just a teaser.
Don't remind me.
I'm not going to get into that too much, but that'll be for another episode.
David Beatty, I might go off on that episode. Craig, one more guy I wanted to ask you about. It's a guy we all saw at the Senior Bowl. I actually got to interview him. We're going to play that interview here after we get done with you. Corey Ballantyne, cornerback from Division II Washburn. There's really not much out there on tape of him, but what did you see from him in the Senior Bowl?
I saw a guy that was long and bigger. He's 6 foot, about 204, so he's got good size on him, and he's well-proportioned. It's not like he's lanky. He's not very high-cut. He's well-proportioned. He showed up in day one, and he played like a guy that was terrified to be playing with Division I football players. He was just very tentative, very slow to react, and so we kind of wrote him off a little bit. And then day 2, day 3, he showed better than guys like Chris Boyd that have gotten all this, all this buzz. Guys like Isaiah Johnson.
Craig, that's That's not.
That's I know that's not hard to say from the Senior Bowl.
Spoiler alert, we don't like Chris Boyd.
Not good.
But I mean, Isaiah Johnson is a guy that came in with a lot of hype. I thought Corey Ballantyne looked better than him on day two and day three. He's a longer guy. He's a guy that I think is going to be like a round six, round seven guy. And depending on what he runs, he might go a little earlier. Washburn's got a kid that's going to get drafted.
Yeah, no, I agree. He was a guy that definitely got better as the whole thing went on. And I was very impressed with him. Craig, we'll be checking in with you, obviously, every week on this show. We got a lot of cool stuff we're looking forward to. One thing I wanted to ask you real quick, though. One guy that you've watched recently that has kind of stood out to you, someone maybe that we're not talking too much about, but that's really kind of impressed you recently.
Montre Hardage. I have been about him for about 24 hours now. I sat down and actually reviewed his tape last night for Northwestern. He jumped off the screen. I'd kind of written off the rest of the corners that I had left on my list, and he just was great. He really was great. He's got a full toolbox, 5'11", 187. He's got great feet. He's got fluid enough hips. He's good in man coverage. He's a very smart cornerback. He just doesn't have long speed. If you keep a safety over the top of him, he's a guy that I think could contribute immediately. And he's a guy that nobody's talking about. Like, people have him down in like the 230, 240 ranges. Matt Miller has him at like 236 right now. So I think he's a guy that after the combine comes and some people watch some more tape, he's going to move way, way, way up. Right now, he is inside my top 10 cornerbacks in this class. So
okay.
I am a big fan of him right now.
So if he does wind up, you know, not climbing up that board, you're thinking, you know, if the, you know, we've talked about this, if the Chiefs decide to double dip at corner and maybe he's there in round five, are you pulling the trigger?
Perfect.
No doubt.
I am absolutely pulling the trigger. I'm trading up in round five to go get him. I love this kid. I think he's got a big, big NFL future.
That's Craig Stout. We will talk to him next week. Thanks for coming on, Craig.
Thanks, guys.
All right, thanks to Craig and Maddie for jumping on with us. You're going to hear from them every week. They're going to join me and Jake every single week on this show. Wanted to jump into a quick two-minute interview that I had with Corey Ballantyne of Washburn at the Senior Bowl. Take a look at this. Really interesting dude. I'm definitely rooting for him after listening to it.
It's been a little while since your last game. What has the process been for you and with your preparation? You know, what's the last couple weeks look like?
Well, the last couple weeks I've been training. I know initially I started the season at 190 and then ended the season about 183. And just been trying to get my nutrition right, getting my weight back up to a good playing weight. And also, you know, watching film, getting good mental reps, one-on-ones. And so I'm not too out of it when I, you know, get out here and practice. And then, I mean, just trying not to let the whole atmosphere get the best of me. Just soaking it all in, coming from a Division II and, you know, being thrown into all of this is new to me. So just trying to enjoy myself.
What, like, technically, what's been one of your focuses leading up to some of your, from a technical aspect? What's kind of one of your
technical
focuses?
Aspect? I think pressing technique. Uh-huh. My technique, sometimes I get out of my frame. So I've been working on trying to do drills to, you know, stay in my frame, making clean breaks and being explosive out of my break, I think is what I've been working on mostly.
Have you had a chance to talk with the Chiefs yet?
I have not. I talked to them, when a scout came to my school a couple months ago, but not recently, no.
What would it be like to play for the Chiefs?
It'd be amazing, especially, you know, being that close to home. A lot of friends, a lot of family there. And I would definitely love the opportunity. And it's a great team. I've heard it's a great organization. So I would love to be a part of the team.
Are you from the area?
Yeah, I've been in Topeka since I moved to America. I moved here when I was six.
Oh, wow.
And I moved straight to Topeka and been there ever since.
So you grew up in Topeka your whole life?
Yeah.
That's awesome, man. That's cool. And you went to the hometown school and all
right,
that?
Right, all of that. And, I mean, a lot of local guys that I knew, I was real comfortable. My parents were, 15 minutes away from my house. So whenever I wanted to, you know, go home and hang out with the family, I was always close.
You moved to America. Where are you originally from?
I was born in Jamaica.
Oh, wow.
Me and my mom moved here when I was six, about 2001.
Uh-huh.
I mean, she married my stepdad, and I mean, they've been together for years now. So,
have you followed the Chiefs your whole life? Has that been a team you followed, or you follow someone else?
I don't necessarily have a favorite.
Yeah.
I kind of watch whatever's on. I just like football.
Yeah.
I like certain players and their attitudes and mentality. I like Marcus Peters. I know he used to play for the Chiefs, and I was watching him when he was there. But I do enjoy the Chiefs. I was watching the game this weekend, too. So whenever they're on, I'll try to catch a game. But I don't necessarily have a favorite.
That was a fun interview with Corey Ballantyne. Thanks to him for taking the time to talk to us over at the Senior Bowl. That was a really cool experience to get to talk to a guy and learn about him a little bit. Jake, I want to go ahead and talk about one prospect each that has kind of stood out to you recently. For you, who's some guy that you've watched recently that has kind of really grabbed your attention, some you're really interested in?
So my guy is a lot of new film came out on him recently. He's someone that's been on our radar since the Senior Bowl. He kind of jumped out. He jumped out there. But there wasn't a ton of tape on him until I think he kind of stood out to some people. And that's Trayvon Wesco, the tight end, H-back, fullback from West Virginia. I really like this guy. The first thing that stood out to me is how big he is. He's a legit, I think he weighed in 6'3", over 270.
Oh, wow.
At the Senior Bowl. And I had one game that I had watched him going into the Senior Bowl, and he was all right. You know, his tape is just all right. I'll be honest, but the way he moved at the Senior Bowl, he's an exciting guy that I think, especially when you talk about how does he fit with the Chiefs specifically, I think he'd be a really fun like move tight end H-back guy because he's massive, but at the Senior Bowl he really showed that he can move pretty well. And when you watch his tape, I think some of it just might have been what they were asking him to do at West Virginia. He lined up in the backfield quite a bit. He's an absolute kill shot blocker as a fullback, which is fun but not always effective. So that's something that he kind of needs to pick and choose with, that because he wants to knock you into next Tuesday, but he misses sometimes and he whiffs. But what I thought was really impressive at the Senior Bowl was, like I said, his ability to get into routes and his explosiveness in and out of his breaks for a guy that's 270. So if you could get him, especially like into the Chiefs offense, he'd just be another mismatch nightmare. I think he's got a really large catch radius. He's got good hands, and he's actually like showed like some explosive ability. You just got to kind of look for it after the Senior Bowl. And that's what was really cool about going to the Senior Bowl and seeing these guys live, is you get to see stuff live that doesn't necessarily show up on tape or doesn't jump out to you on tape. But then you go back and watch and you say, oh no, that was always there. That was always there. He's always had that. But Trayvon Wesco is a guy that I think would be just a great utility knife for the Chiefs. Mm-hmm. Just a guy that they could split out wide. He's probably the best H-back in this class, and he's a true H-back because he can line up in the backfield. He can line up. I mean, they split him out wide too a little bit. So he's a guy that I think would just be a really fun fit for the Chiefs because hashtag score 100.
Yeah, you're kind of on this hype train where you just want the Chiefs to go in all in on kind of just...
I would take DK Metcalf in the first round if he's there, if I was the Chiefs, and not even care what you fans think.
What about the defense?
You don't need a defense when you score 100 every game.
One thing that you kind of mentioned about Wesco, you know, Anthony Sherman's an unrestricted free agent. A couple of days ago, me and Craig and Maddie kind of put together a plan for what we would do on the roster for the Chiefs, and we kept and re-signed Anthony Sherman kind of reluctantly for $2 million. I think he's kind of a locker room guy. He's a solid special teamer. He's a good fullback. But, man, it would be interesting to add a guy like Wesco to play that fullback role, be a little bit more dynamic. There was times when Anthony Sherman was tight end 3, lined up in line on the with Kelce and Harris. So it's like, I don't know. Maybe a guy like Wesco could solve some of those problems, be a little bit more dynamic as a fullback. It'd be an interesting add.
And I think you would be giving up a little bit as far as just a pure fullback with Wesco, because Anthony Sherman is, I mean, he's a good fullback. Like, if you want a guy to line up in an I formation, run a wheel route, he can do all that stuff. And I don't think Wesco is as good of a natural blocker as Sherman, but I think he could add a lot more, just different dimensions to that Chiefs offense that Sherman just can't.
So a guy that I've kind of been interested in and noticed lately that really stood out to me is a safety from Mississippi State, Jonathan Abram. So I went in early because Abram was a guy that was initially going to be at the Senior Bowl. And so what we did in our process is we went out and got out ahead of all the Senior Bowl prospects. And those are the guys we prioritized when we were watching and grading guys. I watched his 2017 tape and it was bad. He could not tackle. He looked stiff. He struggled in coverage. He lacked a little bit of discipline. And I went and watched some of his 2018 tape recently. It came back to him, and it was night and day compared to what he was a year ago. And you like to see that. You like to see guys get better. He played with incredible energy. He played against Iowa late in the season. I believe it was their bowl game, and he set the tone early. He chucked TJ Hockenson.
No, he didn't.
Yes, he did.
I did see that. Yeah. Whatever. I don't care.
Look, TJ Hockenson is going to get talked about a lot here in this show, but I thought Abrams, you know, was a guy that, you know, he set the tone. He's physical. He's played with energy. He was all over the field early in the game. And, I think his tackling has improved. I think he's able to deliver a hit. I was impressed with some of his ability in coverage. I thought he showed a lot of growth, dropping underneath in underneath zones. He made a play on a ball in one of the games I watched. I think he had an interception. It's a guy that, if the Chiefs can't go out and get Landon Collins, for instance, to play that box safety role, Abrams is a very solid consolation for that.
I'm still hung up on him chucking Hawk. You're gonna need to tweet that out, because I'm pretty sure I know what you're talking about, and I'm pretty sure TJ just kind of whiffed on a block, and Abrams just olayed him.
Okay.
What I think. I could be thinking of something else.
I'm going to go retweet it, because it's already on my Twitter account, by the way.
He dropped out of the Senior Bowl with the shoulder, though, right?
Yeah, so he's a guy that had a shoulder injury. I still believe he was around doing interviews and being a part of the process, but he was not medically cleared to play at the Senior Bowl. This is a guy, if the Chiefs don't find someone that can play in the box, if they move on from Eric Berry, if they can't go out and sign Landon Collins, Jonathan Abrams, I have a round three on him. I could see the Chiefs potentially using one of their round twos on him, because I doubt he's there at 92. He's probably closer to that 60s range where the Chiefs have two selections.
When's the last time they drafted someone out of Mississippi State?
That would have been, I believe, Christopher Jones.
Oh, that one worked out.
Yeah, the one from Old Miss didn't, or hasn't.
Not
so
yet.
Far.
Not yet.
Yeah. So that's gonna do it for this week's episode of the AP Draft Show. Merry Draftmas to all of you. It is draft season. We are going to be here every Friday leading up to the draft. Thanks for listening.